chapter 8, and we'll be focusing on verse 36 of John chapter 8. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? And assuming you do, for who wants to be enslaved, what is true freedom? There's a couple, they live in poverty in a very small house in a rundown part of a big city, and they wish they could leave their house, but they can't afford to move anywhere else. They feel trapped, they long to be free. And one day they win the jackpot on the national lottery. They win multiple millions of pounds and everything changes. They buy a huge house in the country. They go on lots of expensive foreign holidays to places that previously they'd only dreamed of going to, including places like Monaco and Las Vegas, where they go into the casinos and they lose lots of money. And they keep losing lots of money, but they become addicted to the gambling, addicted to the lifestyle, and soon the vast majority of the money they won has run out, and they know they need to make drastic changes to their lifestyle, but they can't bring themselves to do it. They become addicted to their new way of living. The couple thought that the money they won was giving them freedom. In fact, they're less free now than they ever were. They've learned that true freedom can't be found in money. More than that, they've learned that true freedom can't be found in being able to do whatever they choose. They need true freedom. And the lesson that fictional couple have learned is a lesson that our society as a whole has not learned, has it? The underlying assumption of so much thinking in our society, and maybe this is your underlying assumption too, is that freedom is found in being able to do what I want to do, in being able to do what I feel like doing. But actually, the more we pursue a freedom based on doing what I want to do, the less free we become. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, we read these words of the Apostle Paul: "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving," or we could have that as enslaved to, it's a strong word, serving, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. Servants, slaves, living according to our own desires doesn't make us free. So where can true freedom be found? Well, the great claim that the Lord Jesus Christ made in the verse before us this evening, John chapter 8 and verse 36, is that true freedom can be found in him. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." True freedom is to be found in him, God the Son, who can set you truly free. And many, many people, including those who have been trapped and bound in addictive lifestyles where they've pursued their own desires, have found these words to be wonderfully true. "If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." The Lord Jesus had been preaching in Jerusalem. Many of the Jewish people who'd listened to him had believed what he said. They hadn't necessarily personally entrusted themselves to him, but they'd accepted at least some of his teaching. And so he says to them in John chapter 8 and verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, God willing, we'll consider that phrase, that the truth shall make you free, towards the end of my sermon. But for now, the importance of it is that it raises this question of freedom. So Christ's Jewish hearers say to him, verse 33, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And so the Lord explains, verse 34, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." They, and all of us by nature, are slaves to sin, servants of sin. And so just because the Lord's descendants, Lord's hearers are descendants of Abraham, doesn't mean that they have unending rights in God's house. Only the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, has such rights. Verse 35, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." And so they need the Son to set them free. Verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed." Jesus, as the Son of God, can set people free and give them true freedom. As God the Son, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, he's the one who can set you and me free with true, lasting freedom. So with all of that said by way of introduction, let's come to consider this verse. Let's come to consider this very important subject of true freedom. And to help us, I have three questions. And the first question is this: why do we need to be free? Why do we need to be free? Or to put it another way, from what do we need to be set free? Well, in the Bible, we read of how the Lord Jesus can set us free in a number of ways. There are a number of different aspects of our need of freedom. Let's consider three. First, we need freedom from fear. Freedom from fear, particularly the fear of death. We're all different, aren't we? And so we're afraid of different things. Maybe some of you are afraid of spiders. Maybe some of you are afraid of open spaces. Maybe some of you are afraid of closed spaces. Fear of heights. Perhaps more seriously, fear of serious illness. Fear of losing our reputations. But behind those fears lurks the great fear, doesn't it? The fear of death. That's the fear that lurks behind so many other fears, isn't it? There's a woman, she says she's afraid of heights. But if she's up at the top of a mountain, she's a mile above sea level, with only a gentle slope downwards in each direction, she's not afraid, is she? If she's just taken off on an aeroplane, however, even though she's less than half a mile up, she is afraid. A fear isn't, strictly speaking, is it, a fear of heights? It's a fear of falling from those heights. It's a fear of crashing to the ground at heart. It's a fear of dying, isn't it? And in one way or another, that fear is over the whole human race unless and until we are set free from it. Of course, people show that in different ways. Many people show that deep down they're afraid of death by simply not being willing to think about it and talk about it. They don't seem to be afraid of death. And then suddenly they're diagnosed with a serious illness which may kill them. And the fear that they have becomes more obvious. Others try to escape from the fear of death by trying to control death. Arguably, a lot of the conversations around things like assisted suicide in our day, because people want to have control even over the timing of their death. Why? Because deep down they're afraid of death, so they're trying to control it. Are you afraid of death? Friends, are you afraid of what is to come? What other things might you be afraid of? Do some of your fears at times cripple you? We need freedom from fear. And then secondly, we need freedom from the law. And here I need to be careful. I need to explain what I mean here and also what I don't mean. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Jewish listeners. He's speaking to the people of Israel. And back nearly 1500 years previously, God had given the people of Israel the law through Moses at Mount Sinai. And the law was a body of commandments, good commandments. And that's not just what the Old Testament tells us. The New Testament tells us the same. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. God is holy and good, so his law is holy and good. The commandments are holy and good. And God's giving of the law to Israel on Mount Sinai, it was an expression of the fact that ultimately all of his creatures are under his authority, not just people from one nation. God is God. He's the God of the whole of this world. The whole human race is ultimately under God's rule and authority and moral law. He is the great lawgiver. From the beginning of creation, God gave Adam and Eve commands to obey. We are his creatures. He is the Lord of his creation. We ought to give him the obedience that he alone is due. But the problem is, we're sinners. We don't keep God's law. And so God's law, which in and of itself is good, becomes a problem for us. Consider again the law that was given to the people of Israel. The law is described in the Old Testament as a covenant that God was making with his people. And at the heart of that covenant was a principle that can be summed up in the words of Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 5, where God says to Israel, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Do this and live." And in Deuteronomy, in that passage that I read earlier, we read of the blessings that the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, would know if they obeyed God's law, and the punishment if they disobeyed his commandments. Problem is, the people didn't obey because they had sinful hearts. And we haven't obeyed God's moral law. We haven't obeyed God's good commands. Because don't we have sinful hearts too? And so God's law, this principle that we are under his command, brings condemnation. As those who break the law of the United Kingdom face punishment for breaking the law of the land, we face the punishment that we deserve for breaking that far greater law, the perfect law of the good, infinite God of all authority. We are lawbreakers. Left to ourselves, we're under the condemnation of the law. So we need freedom from that law. Not in the sense of having freedom to ignore God's commands, which we've said are holy and righteous and good. God's moral laws remain as what our forefathers in the faith termed a rule of life to show us how God says we ought to live. But we need freedom from the law in the sense that we need to be freed from the condemnation of the law. We need to be freed from the position of being under law, such that we need to keep God's law in order to obtain blessing and be right with him. In that sense, we need to be free from the law. We need freedom from fear. We need freedom from the law, and supremely, and this lies behind both of these needs for freedom, we need, thirdly, freedom from slavery to sin. Freedom from slavery to sin. And that's ultimately what the Lord Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 8. In verse 34, a couple of verses before the main verse we're considering, he said, as I said earlier, he said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." As those who practice sin, as those who do things that are contrary to the law of God, we show that we are those who have sinful hearts that turn away from the living God. We show that by nature we're those who are enslaved to sin. We show that we have that desire to go our own way in rejection of the authority of the good God. By nature, human beings are enslaved by sin. That quotation from Titus chapter 3. And verse 3 again from the start. "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving or enslaved to various lusts and pleasures." And it's that need, friends, it's that need for a freedom from slavery to sin that ultimately lies behind those other needs for freedom. I spoke about being free from fear, including the fear of death. But why is death a fearsome thing? It's a fearsome thing because when we die, we stand before our Maker. It's been appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And left to ourselves, we would have to stand as sinful people before the Holy God. And friends, that is a truly fearsome prospect. And we said that we need freedom from the law. But why do we need freedom from the law? Not because God's laws are bad, but because we've broken them. As sinful people, slaves of sin, we cannot keep God's law. We haven't kept God's law. Oh, we can't make ourselves right with God by our own obedience to his laws. And so we're under the condemnation of the law. Friends, do you see? It all stems from the fact that we are sinful people with sinful hearts who have broken God's law and so face the condemnation we deserve, that the wages of sin. And what does Scripture say? The wages of sin is death. Wages are what a person deserves for what they've done, aren't they? And God says in his word, he says to me, he says to you, "You are a sinful person. You've not loved or obeyed my good and holy laws as I deserve. You deserve the condemnation as lawbreakers." And so, friends, the great need of every member of the human race is for true freedom. Freedom from sin and from that condemnation as lawbreakers. That's the freedom I need. That's the freedom you need. Have you realised that? You need to realise that. Because if you come to know this freedom from slavery to sin and from the condemnation that your sins deserve, you can also know freedom from fear, even from the fear of death. And God in his grace has provided such a way of freedom from sin, which leads to our second question: how can we be made free? We've seen what we need to be free from. How can we be made free? And our answer, in a word, is this: Jesus, the Lord Jesus, gives this freedom. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And now, to understand how the Lord Jesus gives us that freedom, we need to understand, and I know that for many of us here, I'm going to be saying things you've known for many years, but we need to understand who the Lord Jesus is, and we need to understand what he's done. It's when we truly realise who he is and what he's done that we begin to see how he's able to give us freedom from fear, freedom from the law, freedom from slavery to sin. So who is Jesus? Well, our verse tells us he's the Son. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. He's the eternal Son of God the Father. And back in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and here he's described using the name the Word. We read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Lord Jesus, he's the Word become flesh. He's the eternal Son of God become man. He took on true humanity without ceasing to be God. He is God and man in one person, fully God, friends, and fully man. The divine and human natures perfectly joined in one person. It's not that the Lord Jesus is a strange mix of godness and humanity that means he's no longer really God or man. No, the Lord Jesus is true man while remaining fully the Son of God. And friends, because he is fully God and fully man in one person, he is the one person who has ever lived a perfect human life. The life of perfect human obedience to God's laws that we all ought to have lived but have not lived, he lived. And he lived that life on behalf of all who will put their trust in him and follow him. So if you truly trust him, if you're one of his people, you know that he lived that life of righteous obedience as your representative, so you were counted righteous in the sight of God. That righteousness of Christ is imputed to you, it's transferred to your account. And more than that, the Lord Jesus, the Son, hasn't just given you his righteousness, he's taken your sins. If you're a believer in him, he didn't just live a life of perfect obedience to the law. He also died on the cross, the death that the law-breaking deserved before he rose again. Because, friends, as a perfect human being, he could die a human death. The death deserved by all the sins and all the law-breaking of those who would trust in him. He could die that human death in the place of human beings. And as the divine Son of the Father, that death was a death, an offering of infinite value in the sight of God, thereby sufficient to pay for all of the sins of all who will repent and trust in him. Have you understood, friends? The Lord Jesus is the Son of God become man. He lived a perfectly righteous life of obedience to the law on behalf of all who will trust in him. And he died on the cross paying the penalty for the sins of all who trust in him. And as such, he and only he is able to give you true freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from being under law. Freedom from slavery to sin. So let's work through that, friends. Let's work through how Christ's person and his life and his death bring freedom in those three areas that I mentioned earlier. First, Jesus brings freedom from the fear of death. Freedom from the fear of death. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, or if you will become a believer in the Lord Jesus, you need no longer fear death. We read in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 15 of the Lord Jesus, that he came to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Because at the point when you die, your soul will go into the presence of God. And God will accept you, if you're a believer in Christ, because the righteous, perfectly obedient Son of God, his righteousness has been credited to your account. And he's paid for all of your sins in his death on the cross. Yes, you've sinned. And because... why have we sinned? We've sinned because at heart we are sinful people. Yes, you're utterly unworthy to be accepted by God, all of us here are utterly unworthy to be accepted by God. But when the temptation comes to be afraid of standing before God, you can say to yourself, if you're a believer in Christ, in response to that temptation to fear, yes, by myself I would stand condemned in the presence of God, but I won't be standing by myself. I'll be standing with my Lord Jesus. I'll be covered in his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, who has paid for all of my sins. So much, friends, as dying may be hard and painful, death itself need hold no fears for you if you've turned back to God and trusted in the Lord Jesus. Friends, if you're a believer in Christ, that is the objective truth. Do you believe it? Jesus brings freedom from the fear of death. And then secondly, Jesus brings freedom from the law. And again, I mean freedom from the law in that sense of being free from the condemnation of the law. And from that sense of being under law, such that you need to depend on your own obedience to be right with God. Maybe there's someone here this evening, and you're particularly conscious at the moment of just how far short you've fallen from keeping God's good and holy laws. You know that you are far short of being the person you ought to be. Perhaps you're deeply convicted of that this evening. But if you are in Jesus, he has kept the law on your behalf perfectly as your representative. He has paid the penalty for all of your sins and law breaking in his death on the cross. So you are free from the condemnation of the law. You do not need to fear the punishment for your sins. And you don't need to live any longer as if you need to keep obeying God's law in order to be accepted by God. If you put your trust in him, the Lord Jesus has brought freedom from being under the law. I read from Galatians chapter 4 this morning. Let me read Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and the beginning of verse 5. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Jesus brings freedom from the law. And then thirdly, Jesus brings freedom from slavery to sin. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you can know this. The price paid by the Lord Jesus in his death on the cross for your sins was sufficient to set you free from slavery to sin. And more than that, you've been brought into the family of God. The Lord Jesus was speaking in Israel at the time of the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, slavery was commonplace. So imagine that there's a man, he's a slave, he's a bondservant in a Roman household. If he's going to be freed from that position, a price must be paid to redeem him. Now imagine that a very wealthy man sends his son to the owner of this slave, and the son offers to pay the price to bring this man out of his position as a slave, and the owner agrees, and the price is paid. So the man is now free. He's no longer a slave to his former master, is he? He no longer has to do what his former master tells him to do. And in a similar way, in his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus paid the price to redeem his people, to redeem us if we're his people, from slavery to sin. His death has paid the price in full. So we who trust him, though we remain sinful people, our legal status before God is not sinner anymore. So if sin in our hearts, which will remain while we live in this body, and if the evil one tempts us to be sinful, to go in any way that is disobedient to God's words, we need to say, I don't have to listen to sin anymore. You have no authority over me any longer. Yes, friends, we'll remain sinful because the roots of sin will remain in our hearts while we live in these bodies. But no longer are you under the authority of sin. Jesus, through his death, has brought freedom from slavery to sin. But more than that, he's brought you. Or he will bring you if you'll turn from your sins and trust him. He's brought you, as those of us who were together this morning saw, into the family of God. Because he's the Son. Because he's the one who, verse 35, ever abides in God's house. So he's the one who has the authority to bring you into true freedom in God's family. Imagining that story I've just told, that the son of the wealthy man goes to the slave that he's freed. He's just paid the price for this slave's freedom. And he now goes to the slave that he's freed. And he says, come and live with me and with my father in our house. Not as a slave, not as a servant, as part of our family. We'll provide for you. We'll look after you. And you can share in the inheritance of my father. What blessing that would be. What freedom that would be compared to what that man knew before. Well, that's the sort of freedom we have if we're in Christ, friends. Freedom that comes from being brought out of slavery to sin and into the family of God. But let me read from Galatians 4 again. This time I'll read all the way from verse 4 through to verse 7. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Dear friends, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, or if you will truly do so, this is the marvellous truth. In him you will find true freedom because of his life of perfect obedience to his Father and because of his death on the cross. Freedom from the fear of death. Freedom from the law and its condemnation. Freedom from slavery to sin, to live in the family of God forever. Friends, isn't that true freedom? If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. So what should we say? Third question, how should we respond to what we've seen? How should we respond to what we've seen? Well, let me say three things. First, come to Jesus. Very simply, come to Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. It's the Son who must give this true freedom. Only the Lord Jesus can give this freedom. Only he is the Son of God, who lived a life of perfect obedience and died in the place of his people, those who've broken God's law. And only he, as the Son of God, can bring you into the family of God. So if you've not come to the Lord Jesus by faith, I would urge you to do so. In him and him alone is freedom from the fear of death. In him and him alone is freedom from the condemnation of the law. In him and him alone is freedom from slavery to sin. In him and him alone is true life and liberty in the family of God. So surely the only wise thing to do, both to avoid that condemnation for your disobedience, but also to enter into the glories of life in the family of the God of love, is to come to Jesus, the Son of God. Ask him to forgive your sins on the basis of his death on the cross. Ask him to bring you into the family of God. Don't try to earn your way to God by keeping his law. You can't do it. None of us can. Well, come to Jesus. He's done it all. Will you do that? And then secondly, keep coming to Jesus. Keep coming to Jesus. If you've come to the Lord Jesus, keep coming to him. Don't come to the Lord Jesus and then go back to trying to relate to God on the basis of law. Yes, God's laws are holy and righteous and good. Yes, obedience to God's laws and commands is important. Obedience is better than sacrifice, says the scriptures. But God in his grace has written in the new covenant, he's written his law on our hearts. We should never obey God's law out of a sense that our standing before God depends on us doing so. Rather, we can obey confidently from the security of knowing that in Jesus, the Son of God, we are already truly free. So don't come to Jesus for salvation and then go back to relating to God as if your standing before him is on the basis of law. No, keep coming to Jesus. Keep spending time with him. Keep listening to his words. As he said in verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Keep coming to Jesus. Listen to him and his word, and obey his laws because he, your loving Saviour, wants you to. Not because you think you need to do so, so you can be confident that you're right with God. Keep coming to Jesus. And then thirdly and finally, let the truths of Jesus and the freedom he brings remain in your heart. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, the verse we've considered this evening tells you, you are truly free. But I wonder, do you always feel truly free? Maybe many of us, if we're honest, would have to admit that at least sometimes we do fear. Maybe you fear death. Maybe at times you fear God's condemnation. Or maybe at times you're living as if you're standing before God is dependent on your obedience to his law. What's the problem? The problem is that although we are free in Jesus, we're forgetting the truth of that freedom. Friends, to know the truth of that freedom in your experience, you need not only to have come to Jesus, that's first, but don't you also need to daily remind yourself of the truth of the freedom that you have in Jesus. Then in the words of verse 32, the truth will make you free. Do you see, friends, true freedom comes from the Lord Jesus. If you repented of your sins and trusted in him, you are free, truly free. But the experienced enjoyment of that freedom depends on your reminding yourself of the truths of that freedom that we've seen. Remind yourself that Jesus is the Son of God who lived that life of righteous, perfect obedience on your behalf. Remind yourself that he is the Son of God who died in your place in his death on the cross so that your sins are all forgiven. Remind yourself that because of that, you need never fear death or condemnation. And remind yourself that he's brought you into the family of God to know that freedom forever. Friends, will you remind yourself of these things? Will you remind yourself of these truths? The Lord Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So come to Jesus. Keep coming to Jesus. And if you've done so, let the truths of Jesus and the freedom that he brings remain in your heart, so you can enjoy that freedom day by day. Oh, may God help us to do that. Let's ask for his help now in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that in your Son you have given us the perfect Saviour, fully God and fully man, able to live, and he has lived that life of perfect obedience on behalf of his people. Able and so graciously willing to lay down his life for us, paying the penalty for our sins. Father, we thank you that we who know him truly do know true freedom in him. Father, we pray that those who do not know the Lord Jesus, listening even now, will come to him, will long to have this true freedom, and will come to your Son for that freedom. Work these truths into minds and hearts such that people come to Jesus, we pray. And Father, may we who in your grace have come to the Lord Jesus, may we keep walking with him. May we keep letting the truths of his word abide in our hearts. Father, may we keep letting these truths of freedom set us free, not just in reality, but in our daily experience. Father, help us to keep these things in mind, not that so we might neglect obedience to your good laws and commands, but so that we might obey your laws and commands in their proper place, from that knowledge that we are already free in the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you again for our wonderful Saviour. We thank you in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn. 544. Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Have you felt his presence glorious as he calls your soul apart with a love so true and loyal, love divine that ever flows from a Saviour, righteous, royal, and a cross that mercy shows? Let's stand and sing together.
Soul apart with
to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.